Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
I'm from Rwanda and I came here as a refugee. And that's why I started by saying I'm a friend, I'm someone's friend, because I'm trying to see how that fits, you know, that sort of identity. Does it fit differently? You can try and do things that help you belong to a place, but I think there are other stuff that happen.
Crossing with a suitcase heart, new name, same scars, fresh start. Some nights heavy, some nights bright. We carry whole homes in our minds. Talk it out, let it breathe. Every voice has something to teach.
Great, kia ora whānau, welcome back to another podcast from this series of Between Two Roles. I'm very excited. The guest of today is my friend. So, I know that my friend, how amazing she is, but let's ask her who she is and how she introduced herself. Martine, how are you?
I'm very good.
Doing well?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Yeah, thank you for having me here again. Yeah.
It's awesome. I remember the first time when we have you, it was just the COVID started, right?
It was really early, maybe 5 years ago. Yeah, because you were doing...
That was online over
Zoom. You were doing online. I think it was the first time that you had to do something online at home.
And that one was
6
really...
years ago.
Wow. So welcome back.
Thank you.
This time we are talking about different topic, but I know your expertise and your wisdom knowledge around this. It's a great... So, Martine, I know you. It's been a pleasure being friend with you this year and witnessing the cool things you do in the community. For those people who was watching and listening to this podcast, I do this with a guest. If I give you the mic, introduce yourself, how you want to introduce yourself.
Oh, it's a hard question, Kodrian, but I'll start with that I am your friend. And that's a privilege, to be really honest, to be a friend of yours. So thank you for having me. I'm a friend of people and other people apart from Kodrian, you know. I'm a person who loves community, a person who loves family. My name is Martine Udahemuka, and I am originally from Rwanda. Rwanda is a small country in Central East Africa, and I have been in New Zealand for 30 years this month.
Actually, 30 years this month.
So it's been a minute. Came here as a refugee, but I don't know if that's really the story that I want to tell. I want to tell a story about me having friends like you from Iraq, you know, friends like Rata, friends like, you know, different friends that are from different parts that I would have never met had I not been pushed out of my own country. So I am a person who is still learning who I am, I think.
Right. Are you celebrating?
Are we celebrating? We actually did do a sort of celebration, or at least we kind of marked the milestone with a family reunion. So we recently had a family reunion here at the end of last month, February, where we had a lot of family and relatives come over from all over the world. Because as you can imagine, having that experience of being a refugee, you have family everywhere but where you're from, right?
Right.
So, I had the privilege of having family. Some of them, it was the first time they came to see us in New Zealand. They came to see where we landed and where we ended once we separated from Rwanda. So, in a sense, that was a celebration, actually, of those 30 years.
That's cool. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Yeah. Sure. No, it was great. Yeah. It was great.
Wonderful. Martin, you mentioned about now you're coming here, meeting friends from different countries and cultures. So, on the topic of today, we want to discuss this series of Between Two Worlds, identity and belonging. So, I want to start maybe this relate to what you mentioned and making friends from different cultures. And what's that mean to you when you come to a place, you can see people from different continents, different languages? How this experience you felt when you just start creating friends from these different
communities? From different parts, yeah. Honestly, it's an experience that I would say I hadn't had until I left Rwanda, right? So Rwanda, as I said, is a very small country, landlocked, and we don't really have, or at least when we were there back in the 90s, there wasn't a history of many Rwandans going out of the country and kind of staying and having like big diaspora communities. So we had Rwandans kind of stay in Rwanda. And we didn't have a lot of people from other parts of the world living in Rwanda as well. So I would say that I had grown up in a very... in a bubble, you know, where I thought all of the world and my whole world is Rwanda. And so coming to New Zealand, it opened my eyes up to so many different cultures. Like, I don't think if I had stayed in Rwanda, I was going to meet somebody from Iraq. Yeah. You know, maybe I could have, but, you know. But also coming here and, you know, staying in a country that's predominantly a white country, it's something that I hadn't grown up in and hadn't ever dreamt that I would be in. So it's taught me a lot about different cultures, different, you know, identities, and like, yeah, making friends with people that you wouldn't have otherwise thought that you would ever actually even connect with as well. Picking up new languages, you know, when I came here, I didn't speak English. And I think through language, you also make those connections, right? Because you can now speak to more people because you now speak a different language. And so I think it's been a sad experience leaving my home, but it's also like it's actually when you stop and go, okay, so these things have happened as a result of this bad thing that happened. There's all this other good stuff that's come out of it, you know.
It's
amazing meeting people from all over the world. Here in New Zealand is great.
And within that, want to ask the other question, like, how this shaped your identity, or maybe you ask it this: what is identity for you?
That's a big question, I think. And you know, you always tell me don't think too hard and don't be philosophical about everything. But
well, that's for you.
That's just me. I always think too deeply about stuff. But I think I don't know what the identity means. I think it is who you. If everything was stripped away from you, you know, your job, your money, your status, whatever, those kind of things. Who are you? Like, what are you left with?
Yeah,
I think that's what identity is. And I had, you know, someone previously asked me, who are you? And I answered with, you know, I'm a sister, I'm a friend, I have this job or whatever. And then I quickly realized that actually that's just me attaching myself to like a person or a thing. I think identity is deeper than that. It actually, how do you... I think it's a deep question. I don't know how to answer it. What would you say? I'm gonna turn it on you. You said I have the microphone.
Exactly. Yeah, I think which is every guest we bring have a different perspective, different way.
Yeah.
To pronounce it, which is I think it is okay. Sometimes we don't know what is that because, like you said, it's great because some people love to identify them because of the place.
Yeah, exactly.
Or because of certain culture. Or because of certain job or things.
Yeah.
Right? It's really like that. People in a different area, they answer differently.
Yeah.
Just what they feel, that's the identity, right?
Yeah. You actually touched on a really interesting point because I had never had to think about identity until I left my home, right? And that's what I was saying. When I was in Rwanda, I felt like I didn't have to question who I was, right?
Yeah.
My only identity was my name, you know? I just had a name. Back then it was a nickname called Petite, which many people don't know here, but I was just identified as Petite, and that was just my nickname. And, you know, then I was kind of given all these other, I don't know, little, like, labels and stuff. But I didn't have, you know, if somebody said, hey, who are you? I would say I'm Petite, right? But then actually, you're very right, I think. Since I've come here, I started identifying myself with different labels that I never thought about. I identified myself as a refugee. I identified myself as an African. I identified myself as a black person, things I'd never had to.
That's right.
You know, it's kind of, I've heard people in the past as well say, a fish doesn't know that it's a fish until you take it out of water. When it's in water, it's just fish. It doesn't have to identify anything until you take it out and it starts going, oh, I'm not feeling well out here.
Yeah.
I'm a fish, you know? So actually, it's a really good point, I think. Identity. And I'm trying to move away from always... Since I've been here, I always start my introduction with, I'm from Rwanda and I came here as a refugee. And that's why I started by saying I'm a friend, I'm someone's friend, because I'm trying to see how that fits, you know, that sort of identity. Does it fit differently? Because can I actually keep saying that I'm from Rwanda? Or can I keep saying I came here as a refugee after 30 years?
Exactly.
You know, at what point
do
I stop saying that, right? So
it's
a big question, but it's a question I do think about a lot. And I think it can change, like you just said. Yeah,
that's
really
right.
Definitely can change. Yeah.
And sometimes these labels are not given to us. It's just we just arrived here, to be called it, like the refugee. Because, like you said, because I relate to that as well. I never know that this term will apply to me one day. I have read it in my university studies and things, so I understood. But then suddenly, in a night and a day, you see yourself, now I am one of these people. Then the other things in the paper is nice to read, this kind of human rights things, but when you start living and trying to survive with this new labor, I think there's the new challenge could happen. And then plus, it's also dependent on the journey. Some people like how, because really for us at the end of the day, I am who I am. But some people will start judging me just because, you know, the name,
the label,
the color of skin and things. So they will start put everything else.
That's right.
Then sometimes, when I was really at the beginning, I was ignorantly, I was happy. I was the norm.
Yeah.
Then slowly understand, oh, wait, some people actually are judging me because they push me away from things. Then start realizing there's a problem here. So start deeping dive into those narrative, what is around and things. So I think that's where sometimes we don't choose those labels. Yeah, we want to be identified.
Yeah.
Just who we are, who we become, but
situation
and things moved us. We have some time to say we are from this, just because to change the narrative that has been around those things, to give also knowledge for the wider community.
That's right, yeah.
So what you were mentioning, Martin, your speech, I think, I like what you mentioned, can change. It is like that, because again, identity, it's combination of many things.
Yeah,
I think sometimes identity, if without family, sometimes hard. I can't identify myself, you know?
Yeah.
So within talking about this identity and the journey and things, there's other questions that also kind of like go together, which is about belonging.
Yeah.
How you see that? What is that for you?
Yeah, man, I find the idea of belonging so hard. Not so much to define, but I think actually it's something that I really have struggled with. And again, if I go back to the fact that I've been here for 30 years now, so I've been in New Zealand longer than I've been anywhere else in my life. The first passport I held was a New Zealand passport, you know. And yet, I don't know where I belong, actually. I feel like I belong in Rwanda, my birthplace, and I think it's something to do with our refugee story as well. Because you leave without actually planning to leave, and so you kind of hold on to that sort of what if I had stayed and this kind of dream about how your life was, right? So I think belonging is such a it's I think an intentional act sometimes that you have to also be intentional in how you create opportunities that allow you to feel like you belong. But like identity, there are also different things. There are things that are outside of my control, right? So for me, I always laugh when I'm walking down the street here in New Zealand and people are kind of looking at me, or I'm on a bus or the train, and I'm like, oh, what are they looking at? Maybe it's something in my hair or something stuck in my teeth, and I'm like, oh, I'm a black person. Maybe they've never seen a black person before. Or somebody suddenly asks you, where are you from, right? And then suddenly you're like, oh, that's right, I'm not actually from here because I look different. And so I could try and actively try to do things that make me look like I belong. I work here, I socialize here, I do everything here in New Zealand, but somebody reminds you that actually you look different. You don't look like somebody who should actually be from here. And I think those questions take you back to asking yourself, where do I belong, right? So you can try and do things that help you belong to a place. But I think there are other stuff that happen through other people that make you ask yourself questions again about where you belong. Where is home?
Because the question of belonging, it doesn't come to us. Either they ask us, or either we face such a situation like someone have judged us into something, then we start thinking, why I've been targeted into that comment or that kind of things.
Yeah,
I think because I now my journey here been in 7 or 8 years, but I really didn't face it maybe direct. There was such a situation which took me later to think about that. What was that mean?
Yeah.
But I think again, because of this, we we don't have that question of what is it, because we're just a passion, we want to start a new life, we want to work, we want to just feel normal as everyone
else. That's right, yeah.
So there's no that question in our mind when we walk. So a lot of people think now we're walking, there's this question always with us.
Yeah.
So either they think we are fighting or we're not, we're just walking.
Yeah.
So within that, my friend, talk about identity and belonging. Me and you may relate to this. I'm not sure about the people watching and listening. I call this the name of the podcast as well as living into two worlds.
Yes.
Have you lived into two worlds between your family and outside?
Yeah. You know what's interesting? When I saw this topic, I was meant to bring you something to show today, because when I was in New Zealand, when I first came to New Zealand, I realized that when I look back, even in my assignments in high school, before I could even speak the language in high school and at university, somehow I used to turn all my assignments to do with living in between two worlds. And at university, I met this it's a visual thing that shows how I'm kind of stuck between two worlds. And I had wanted to bring it to you so you can get it's something that's since high school, and I hadn't when I was doing it at the time, I wasn't thinking, oh my god, I'm stuck between two worlds, but it seems like everything, I always bring it back to living between two worlds. And yeah, I mean, I think it's similar to what we're talking about with regards to belonging, right? So you are trying to live here in New Zealand as a New Zealander, but your mind is also kind of split, and it's thinking about back home. But also when I got back to my family, like you were saying, right? So outside, I'm at work. When I'm at work, I'm this person. And then when I go back home, my language changes. I speak a completely different... I speak in Rwanda. Right, so immediately it's a different, you know, when you speak different languages, even what you talk about and how you talk about it changes. So you're immediately quite a different person, and the things you talk about are different.
Expression are different.
Your expressions, but the things that matter. So, for example, at home with my family, a lot of the things we talk about are to do with Rwanda. You know, the other way that I think I live between two worlds is if you look at my WhatsApp, for example. You know, it's like I live here, and then I have groups of my cousins who are all over the world, my aunties and uncles, all of that. So many different groups of people all over the world who are my family, and we engage every single day talking about. Oftentimes, you'll find that we're talking about reminiscing about what it was like, you know, back home. So it's a weird space to be in, you know, like you're at work and you're there.
Right.
But you leave that workplace and suddenly it's like a different world, you know, where you want, or I look at my phone and I'm completely in a different world. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I think there is a blessing in that somehow. Like, and that's what you were saying at the beginning, right? Like, there are some good things that I can learn from. I could say I'm lucky to have two places that I call, not even two places, now I have multiple places that I can call home, because I have family there, you know.
That's really interesting, and it is something like I say, I relate to it as well, because I'm also come from different part of the world, and I live into two worlds. I speak different language, I eat different food, and you know, so all of that.
Yes.
Yeah, we do have that chat groups, brothers, friends, etc. So within that, I want to ask you, Martin, about this question. How would this all impact our mental health?
Personally, it has impacted me in a negative way, to be honest. And I think it's because I constantly have that question of, like, where do I belong? Do I belong here? Where is home? And I really, really struggle to accept that I'm here. I struggle to accept that I left home, my Rwanda, which I really, really love.
Yeah.
I love my country, and I have really good memories about Rwanda. And whether those memories are real or whether it's something I've created in my head because I've left, I don't know. But the memories in my head are really nice. And so I think I have that constant battle of, is this actually a nightmare, and am I going to wake up? And I think it's maybe it could have been different. I mean, if I was a different person, but also maybe if I was in a different place as well. So I've got family who are in other parts of the world where you've got a lot more black people, a lot more people from Rwanda. And I think that makes a difference if you see a lot of people that look like you every day. I think you're going to feel a bit different. You know, I suspect you'll feel a bit different. So I think it's this constant thing of, oh, that's right, I look different, I move different. Even at work, sometimes I would speak and then I can go, oh, that word didn't come out right. And then I have all this, like this, I spiral and I think they're going to think that it's because I don't speak English. All of this kind of thing. So I'm always constantly like playing those games in my head. So it has impacted me in a negative way. Mm. Yeah, I don't want to sugarcoat it. You know best.
Yeah.
That I've many times tried to leave this country to try and find out where home is. And haven't quite worked it out yet because of different complexities.
Yeah. So, and when you face such a thing, how you overcome it? What is?
Yeah.
What do you think that's a part of solution or healing for you when these ideas, this thinking coming, nostalgic to the place of birth? So, what is the best you think that help you when such as things happen?
Mm. I think that's what I was saying. It's like an active and intentional act to want to be present where you are, you know, because I'm aware of it. I'm aware that a lot of my world is colored through that lens. I actively now try to be present about being in New Zealand. I try to be realistic. I accept I am here and I am here. It is just what it is, you know. I've come to a point where I just kind of think it is what it is. And actually, like we were saying earlier, there are some really good things about me being here, you know. So it's actually just being aware that I'm not just focusing on the things that I've lost or the things that could have been, but actually going. So for example, I have my brother who is here, and when I watch him, he's my older brother, and I watch the things that he has managed to achieve in New Zealand, I always think, had we been in Rwanda, maybe he was never going to achieve the things that he has achieved, right? So I always go, wow, you know, of all the things that could have come out of this refugee's journey, I had never thought my brother can do X, Y, Z, you know? So it's actually actively trying to pull out the good things, and I speak a different language now, you know? Like, it's all of those kind of things that actually... that I use to remind me of actually there is some good in this, you know. I still think that being a refugee is bad and we should really never, it's a shame that there are refugees and these things are happening still in the world, but the fact is we're here, right? So it's accepting our situation. And then also the other thing that I think helps me, and that's how we met, right? It's actually how do I think back of when I first came. I came a long time ago, so, and I was in Palmerston North, that's where my parents are. You can imagine how rough that was. I was barely a teenager, and I had a really, really rough time in high school. I had a rough time in that place. And what I've done is actually I let that push me to then make things better for people who have come after me. And so as far as I remember, I've always done volunteering, for example, even when I was in school. So even when I was in school and I didn't speak English, I was the president of like World Vision. I was doing like 40-hour famines where I was going for 40 hours without eating. I was collecting for World Vision, all this kind of stuff. I was tutoring like maths without, you know, speaking the language. So I feel like it's pushed me to give back. It's also pushed me to notice people who are not doing well. People who are like, I can clearly, like, even in the workplace, I can see somebody who needs more support and all of that. And so I feel like it helps my mental health as well, because I can give back and I can make things better for other people.
Wow. I think that's the passion and energy. See you.
Yeah.
You've been active in the refugee sector a lot.
Yeah.
You have some initiative cool over them. One of them, Link, mentoring and supporting many other organizations, also including us. You've been with us in the journey. So the question is here, maybe Mother wanted to check what made you keep going? What is something keep you grounded between navigating these two worlds? What is your secret here?
I think it's that what I've just touched on. It's the giving back. It's doing, making sure that people coming after me and experiencing the same journey don't have to experience it in a negative way, right? I'm also some person that I think if I have information, networks, money, anything, I will support people, you know, like I think, and I think it keeps me going because I'm like, I'm useful. I'm not actually just a refugee, right? I'm not just a black African refugee in New Zealand who, like you were talking about, people can put labels and I shouldn't say people. I used to have those thoughts about refugees before I became a refugee, right? You have this idea that a refugee is a poor person, uneducated, they have nothing to give back. But I am that person, and yet I can give back. I can uplift people, and I can make the best of this world that I find myself in, you know, by giving back. Yeah.
Awesome, wonderful. Look, Martin, I can keep on enjoying this. It's been great. So to do such a podcast, I want to keep going, but for the time.
So good. We can talk forever.
Yeah, great. So we can have you in the future podcast as well.
Yeah.
But last question I ask the guests, what would be your message? If there's any message, any advice you send to anyone who's listening, watching this podcast?
Oh, Quadrian. About this topic specifically?
Yeah. What do you will tell them?
Oh, man, that's a hard one. I think my message is, get to know somebody who is different from you.
That's awesome, Martin. So in the tradition of this season, we do have a question from a previous guest.
Mm-hmm.
And you will also have a chance to write a question for the future guests that come in.
Okay.
We will not tell you who was the guest. If you can watch our YouTube, you will know who wrote you the questions. So let's see what's your question here. So the question is, what is the one thing you have been doing for healing and you would recommend others too?
Wow, it's a good one. You know what, some of the things that I've been doing that's been really good for me healing wise is these retreats, and I think I've told you about them before. So I had a friend who was a life coach actually, a long time ago, because I believe in actually investing in yourself, your mental health and your progression, not just in career but in life. So I had a life coach. I've had two life coaches in my life. Highly recommend that. But she ended up inviting me to this retreat that we ended up doing every year for a few years, and it's up north, and you spend time with such amazing humans talking about how do we want to best show up in life, doing meditation. I'd never done meditation before. Talking about the things that we're finding challenging in our lives, and then not stopping there, talking about this, how do we want to see our lives and what are we going to do to get there. So those retreats have been really, really healing in the sense that I still use a lot of the things that I learned from there to continue kind of, you know, reflecting on what I'm doing every day, how am I showing up. Lots of little gems that I've picked up from those sort of retreats.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just stopping for a moment.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a nice way. Awesome. Thank you so much, Martin. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your korero and giving us this time to share with us and audience. Hope they see it useful from these conversations, because sometimes this conversation is not on the radar. The main media don't show this.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that will help someone who is listening or watching. Thank you again. I look forward. We may have you in a different conversations in the future.
Why not? Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you.
Take care. Fine, I hope you enjoyed this podcast as much as I enjoy it. So please leave us a comment and tell us your thoughts. And ka kite, see you next podcast.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.